We're doing the Shiltos with the Netziv, and we had seen the first mitzvah, that the first essay on Bereishis, that we have to rest on Shabbos, because when Hashem created the world, He created it in 6 days, rested on the seventh, blessed it, sanctified it, like a person that builds a home. When he concludes it, so he makes a party for a day, as people call it, Hilulei Bate. And now we're up to that section, Hilulei Bate, as the Torah says, Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i. So now the Netziv says,
can I ask a question about this before we go to the Netziv? Is what's being brought here more or less Gemara?
No.
Shiltos is writing his own thing.
This happens to be, it shows up in the Medrash Tanchuma with the heading Shilta, and the question is, who took from whom? Where did it come from? So let's see.
Not all the Shiltos is quotations of Gemara.
Correct. As we learn, we will see. Let's let the Netziv talk. He will address it over here and in other places as well. I prefer to let the Netziv address it than me address it.
Is all the Gemara brought in the Shiltos?
No. Okay, Hilulei Vate. So, I translated loosely the party of inaugurating a house. As the verse says, Vayechal Elokim. So we're at the last four words of page Aleph. Hilulei Vate Dechtiv Vayechal. Uvetanchuma Isa. And in the Medrash Tanchuma it says, Kalil Vate. The conclusion of a home, Dechtiv Vayechal. So that works better, right? Vayechal and Kalil. So the Netziv over here, he says it's one and the same. Hilulei Bate and Kalil Bate. And in the Gemara Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, Ita, Hilulo Libre. He made a Hilulo. What's a Hilulo over there? He made a wedding for his son. And Uve Bamidbar Ra, Uve Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Aleph, Ita, Vecholilei Libre. He made a wedding for his son, and it's called Kalele Lebre Ve'inyan Echadu. It's all the same idea, Simchat Bno, the happiness of his son. So you see the word Kala, Vayechal, Kalil Bate, it's all happiness. That's very interesting, that the word Kala could mean happiness. Vayechal Elokim, Hashem made a party, Hashem made happiness. Vayinod B'simin Kufayin Aleph. Vevi hapasuk vayechal vigomer leraya shebiyom haShabbos nigmar abinyan kemashmo. This is a proof that on Shabbos he finished the building, as you see, vayechal lukim bayom haShvi. He finished it on that day. V'radal b'shmot Rama sham piresh binyan acher be'ofen acher v'tanchuma ve'lo nireh. He says the Radal of David Luria, in his commentary on the Medrash, he has a different explanation, but I don't buy it. He says doesn't seem right to me. Okay, so that's very interesting. That Hilula and Kalila could mean the same thing. Now, if we want to develop this a little bit, we could develop this in the vein of the Orchos Tzadikim. The Orchos Tzadikim says, when do you have Simcha? When you have Shleimus. When you reach your wholeness, that's when you could have Simcha. So then it makes sense that Vayechal and Hilul can fit together. Yeah, that works. Okay. Next. It also makes sense why a kala means simcha. Because kala is the conclusion of man. Meaning he is finished when he has his wife. That's his wholeness. That's also his happiness. Okay. Oh, now you just got a lot of information for your Sheva Brachas. Now you have material for your Divrei Torah as a chasen. Back to the Shiltos. Kihechi denachi be'ana, just as we rest, the Shiltos said, Dichtiv zachot yom Shabbat lekacho. The verse says, remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify it. Says the Netziv Gimel, Dichtiv zachor ha-seifa de'parshak ha-samich. Really, he quotes the beginning of the Pasuk, but he means to illustrate from the end of the Pasuk, And this is something we find often in Midrashim, that Midrashim will quote you Pasuk, but they really mean the end of the Pasuk that doesn't appear in the Midrash. They just assume. They say the first two words, you know what they're talking about. At the end of the Pasuk it says, Vayonach bayom ha-shvi, al kein beirach Hashem et yom ha-shabbat vayikadesheyu. So, just as we rest, so too, Hashem vayonach bayom ha-shvi. V'hachim vor betanchuma, and if you look in the Midrash Tanchuma, you see that clearly. Okay, then the Shilta said, it's prohibited to fast. On the contrary, you have to enjoy it, the meichlo v'mishtiyah, with food and drink, v'yikure, and honor it, v'levusha uv'kisuya me'alya, with dress and an elevated covering. What does that mean? Levush u'begdat tachtona mitlabesh al chalkei aguf. So the Netziv right away discerns, you see here two types of garments, the levush and the kisuya me'alya, what you wear, and the covering. So levush, he says, is the undergarments, the garments that come in direct contact with the body. U'mishum hachi kinu chazal klipat ochlin levush. And that's why Chazal speak about the peel of the fruit as their levush. Kedit nan be'uktin, as it says in the Mishnah, in the last tractate in Shas, tractate Uktin, Perek Aleph, Hashidra shel shibolet va'levush shelach. You have the spine of the stalk, and then you have the dressing of the kernel of barley. So the dressing, the levush, is that peel. Uveshabbat afayin zayin amud aleph, levusha lo busha. Chazal over there analyze different words in Aramaic, and they say, what is levusha? Levusha stands for lo busha. Levusha is no shame. Klomal, klapesha, humu bebusha gdola, because a person undressed is in great shame, kedita bebaba kamadaf pevmav, ve'arum barboshet ubitmiha. You see over there, the Gemara says, when a person is undressed, so that's a person who should be embarrassed. Valevush, mesir bushato. That's why levush removes the busha. Levusha removes the busha. Ve'av agav shepirush Rashi Shabbat sham levusha chelek elyon ve'lo busha shemchaseh kol ha'chalakim ha'tachtonim ha'kruim. Rashi over there has an interesting pshat. Rashi says levusha, that's the external garment, and the reason it covers your shame is because it covers the tatters in your clothing. You have all kinds of holes and patches. You wear a coat over it, no one knows. So that's Rashi's pshat there. So he says, yeah, but you know what? Rashi's talking about that you wear a shirt over your torn undershirt. So that also comes in contact with your body, and it covers, and it's in contact with the body. But there, they were talking about like the robe, meaning they had their undergarments, and then they had a robe that covered a person from top down. So that was the levush, because that covered the undergarments, plus it came in contact with the body. Because every other garment is on a specific part of the body. The undershirt's on the chest, the socks are on the feet, etc. V'akol bichlal shem levusha. And they're all encompassed, says the Netziv, I stick by my guns. They're all encompassed by levusha. Levusha is that garment that comes in contact with the body. Vikisuya, but the covering, huglima, that's what's called the glima. That's like the cape. That's like the garment that's on top, like the frock. Dita be Shabbat sham shenasim bo kegolem plichel keaguf. The Gemara says, the glima, that's the garment you wear on top of everything else, that causes everything to seem like one solid piece. You cannot discern the different body parts. So that's like a cape. If you have a cape or a poncho or a frock, you have a long coat that covers everything, so then you can't see the way the body is divided. That's why those people who claim they go in the way of the Gra, of the Zilberman school, they're dressed like Hasidim. They all wear a long coat on top of their garments because they say, you see, glima, you're supposed to have a garment that covers everything, that you don't see how the figure is cut. So that's why they say you should wear a long coat. Okay, fine. So...
The grass is.
I didn't say the Gra says. I said the people who claim they go in the footsteps of the Gra dress that way and cite from this Gemara.
There is no kosher to them being students of the Gra or claim to be students.
Well, they just like they claim to be students of the Gra, so they do a lot of things which they think the Gra held you should do. So too they do this, because they try to go in line with the distilled understanding of the Talmud and Mishnah. And whatever.
That's what the Gra did?
That's what they say the Gra did. This all goes back to their interpretation. Fine. That's what the Shas calls the glima of the rabbis, because it's something that was dressed, people wore it only out of honor. Like what we will, like what people today wear a frock. Or out of modesty. Just like they'd wear a sadin, they'd wear some kind of cloth covering their face, the way women would when they'd go in public places.
So women, they cover their face?
Of course. Where do you think the Arabs got it from?
When did they cover their faces?
Well, the Persians, Jewish women would cover like the Persian women covered. And the Mede Jewish women covered like the Mede women would. Every society, the Jewish women basically adopted the styles of that society, more or less. Within the realms of modesty, but their style of dress matched the styles. When I said, where do you think the Muslims got it from? I was joking.
But what period of time is he referring to?
I assume he's talking during the period of the Talmud.
In Babel.
Well, we know in the time of the Mishnah they did it, and it seems pretty clear in the time of the Gemara they did it. So, yeah.
Okay.
Look, in Yemen they were doing it 50 years ago. You see pictures from Yemen 50 years ago, they were still doing it. Okay.
How come we're told the difference between a Jewish and a Muslim woman that they all cover up the same way?
Who said you could tell the difference? The Talmud says you couldn't tell the difference.
They
didn't have Islam then, but the Talmud says, why would that cause problems?
Well, I mean, if they're, you know, like, a crowd or something, who knows?
Maybe like the person's family or something like that. Maybe there's different colors. Same, like, yeah, there's such a thing as Jewish colors. Different colors. Should they figure out how to start between each other? Okay. The Tanakh, when it speaks about this honorable overgarment, calls it a simla. As we find in the prophet Isaiah, it says that when there'll be a vacuum in the leadership, people will grab a person and tell them, have a simla, you be our general. So you see, simla is a garment of respect, a garment of honor that only the leaders would wear. V'chein ufaresu ha-simla v'esira et simlat shivya. And that's what we find also when we say that when there's testimony, when there's claims that this woman was unfaithful, so it says they spread out the simla. It says when a woman is taken into captivity, so she removes the simla of captivity. So what does he mean by these proofs? They don't instinctively lend themselves to his interpretation. He says, you want to know what I'm talking about? Go look at my explanation in the beginning of Parshas Ki Seitan. That when Hashem says they prepare for the receipt of the Torah, let them wash their simla, he says, v'chavru levusheihon. You see, the Targum calls the simla the levush. Hainu kibus v'gihutz ha'asuylin kiyut. That's washing and ironing. That's what you cleanse it. And he doesn't say that the words, when Hashem says, prepare for the receipt of the Torah by kibsus imlotam. So ordinarily, he translates when the Torah says to cleanse clothing, and the Torah really means to immerse them in mikveh, so the Targum translates it as yitztaba. The exception is in preparation for the receipt of the Torah. Over there he has another translation. He says vichaviru, which really means to launder, not to immerse in the mikveh waters. Avalacha tirgem kikushiyat ha-gemara b'yivamot af mevavam bet v'din manikiyut be'alma. Here he translated it like the Gemara in Yevamos asks that maybe the command to prepare their clothing was just so they received the Torah out of cleanliness. V'ayinu mishum de'achi pashta dekra, because that's the simple reading of the verse. Because the Torah doesn't say let them immerse their clothing. The Torah says let them immerse their simlot. And simla is an honorable garment. And if what the Torah meant was that they should immerse the clothing in order to attain purity, then it's not only the simla, the overgarment that needs it, but the undergarment as well. Ela nekiyut mishum kvod haTorah b'simlot levanot v'naot menkiyot metinuf. But the simple understanding is the Torah was saying, out of respect for the Torah, they should cleanse their overgarments, that they should be white and clean from any dirt. V'chein kan, and here too, lamad Rabbeinu mitrei krai leshanot b'shabbat kodesh shnei minei bgadim. From two verses, the Sheiltos, Rav Chai Gon derived that on the Holy Shabbos we should change both our types of garments, both these types of garments. It says, v'chibadto, so we derive from the word v'chibadto, honor it, shelo yehi malbushcha, which the Netziv says means your overgarment should not be identical, haynu levusha tachton. And then he brings from the Yerushalmi and the Medrash in Rus. He says you should have two overgarments, one for Shabbos, one for Chol. My time over. Naomi tells Ruth, wash yourself, immerse yourself, anoint yourself, and then wear your simla. So the Medrash asks, v'chi arumaita? Was she without clothing that Naomi has to tell her, wear your clothing? Ela'ilu b'gdei shabbata. But rather, what Naomi was telling her is, wear your Shabbos clothing, perush. De'lefi apshat disimlai letzniut ko'olech lachutz. If the word simla is the way we're accustomed, that's an overgarment that's worn out of modesty, as though she's going outside. Mishumachim makshev v'chi arumaita, detzniut yitera lo tzicha b'layla v'oto ma'alach. What was Naomi telling her, the Medrash asks? She's going out at night. She's not going out to a public affair. She's only going out to Boaz. Now she has to wear that fancy poncho or whatever for her meeting with Boaz, if your whole intent is not that? What's she saying? But rather, these are the honorable clothing one wears even at home, like we wear in honor of Shabbos. So it's derived from the words, you'll wear your simna. Like we explained that the word simla is a garment worn only out of respect. The word simla is a garment that encompasses, like an overgarment that encompasses the body, it's worn out of honor. That's why the Shiltos brings the Jerusalem Talmud and not the Babylonian Talmud. The Aleph Gamkin midichti v'sam tzimlotayich Amar Rabbi Elazar elu bigdei Shabbat Aval hatam einom vua kokach debin natifa gamkin miyuchedet l'Shabbat. The Jerusalem Talmud is where it's clear that you need another garment in honor of Shabbos. In the Babylonian Talmud it's not as clear. So again, he says there are two types of garments. One is levush, the undergarment. Levusha, lo busha. The levush is the undergarment. And the simla, the overgarment, is worn out of honor. And he is medayik in the Sheiltos, that the Sheiltos says you have to switch your levush and your kisuya me'alya. Both have to be switched. So it's a very interesting thing. Does a person have his Shabbos undergarments? That's what it would seem like. Okay, so that's what comes out of here, that the Netziv understands in the Shiltos that one should have two types of garments, not only the overgarment, like we all, many people have a suit in honor of Shabbos, right? So they have their weekday suit and they have their Shabbos suit. And here it turns out, it's not only that our undergarments also, there's an idea they should be special. So one could say, okay, I have a Shabbos shirt, I have Shabbos pants, do I have to go beneath that? It's a good question.
Some people have a Shabbos tzitzit.
Shabbos tzitzit? Okay, I'm not sure that would be different than a Shabbos shirt. So the question is, do you need a Shabbos undershirt, according to this? How far does that go? The simple reading seems to indicate yes. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure they had so many layers. I'm not sure you could say that, because who's going to notice the difference? You know, he wears a Shabbos undershirt. Where's the honor here? Do you feel the difference? You wear a Shabbos shirt, you wear a Shabbos pants, I understand. You wear a Shabbos undershirt.
Wait, no one has to notice.
Where's the honor?
The honor that you're doing.
I hear. Okay.
For example, like a undershirt. Sometimes when they have like one that's new or something like that, you can feel it more. Sometimes they're a little more out. You can feel it a little more. Like maybe the same with the tzitzit.
This is the baggy for Shabbos. This is special for Shabbos. That in and of itself, that being set for Shabbos and worn on Shabbos. Even if no one sees it, still.
For your socks, for example, you're walking all day and during the week, you don't mind your worn-out socks on Shabbat. You know, the comfier socks.
Also, not having dirty, smelly socks on Shabbat, no one's gonna notice.
I know socks would be considered in a row.
But
right here? Okay.